Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of April 26th. This week's sermon, People Skills, Mary Magdalene, by Carrie Eck.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the online service for New Hope Christian Church this weekend. We're excited to have you here, and we hope that this time is uplifting, encouraging, and refreshing for you wherever you are. I don't know about you, but it seems crazy to me that it's already the end of April. I mean, this is the last weekend of April. It feels like it was just yesterday that we were in March, but here we find ourselves at the last weekend of April. But regardless of the time of year it is or what the weather's like outside, I'm excited that we can be here at this time, in this moment, to worship God. I'm glad that you have taken the time, you've prioritized this time to worship God and to learn about what He is calling you to do and me to do in this season. And so there's a few things I want to let you know about before we go any further. A few things in and around this message. So if you're new to how we do this, there is a family discussion guide somewhere around this video. So if you're sitting with kiddos around you, if you're looking for a little bit more discussion based on this message, there should be a link to the family discussion guide. You should click on that and open it up before the message starts, because there's going to be some things in there that'll make more sense if you open that before the message starts. Another thing I want you to know about is the Bible study guide. And so if you're looking to go a bit deeper into Scripture through this message, you can access the Bible study guide that'll take you a bit deeper into the conversation. With that, I'm going to hand you on over to Dave.
Hello, New Hope. Thank you for your patience and your faithfulness through this very challenging time. You know, it's been so exciting for us to hear stories of how you're actively ministering in new and interesting ways. And we've seen some of you helping to make masks for medical personnel, as well as for individuals and families in the community, and that's been great. I know that there have been others of you that have been making phone calls on New Hope families, trying to check in on them, make sure everybody's okay, finding out what their needs and prayer requests are. Appreciate that so much. We've got groups that are using tools like Zoom to take their groups online for Bible studies and discussions. And, you know, as a side note, if you are interested in being a part of something like that, an online group during this time, you know, please go to our website, go to our Go Group page and sign up, and we'll have someone make contact with you and give you more information about that. And we've also been hearing about those of you that have been being the church wherever it is that you do life. You know, you've been checking in on friends and you've been checking in on your neighbors, and at this time, that's so very important. And so I just want to encourage you to keep it up, New Hope. You're doing a great job. Well, we have some announcements for you. There are some great things for you to check out on our church webpage. And that's the page that you go to find our current weekend message when you're ready to watch that. First of all, there's a button on there for the family discussion guide. And what is that? Well, that's a weekly resource for families to use during the sermon time to further discuss and apply the weekend message. And there are things that are on that that are for younger children as well as for adults. Also located there is a button for our weekly Bible study guide for adult individuals and small groups. And this study builds on the message once again, and it provides devotional scriptures and questions for each day of the week after that. And so that's a great resource for you to tap into. Another button on that page, it says, is the More Resources button, and that gives you access to Bible study tools and apps, as well as a link to resources and free studies that are provided by the professors of Ozark Christian College. And so what a way to get some great material there. There's also a Giving Online button that gives you a variety of ways to financially support the ministries around here at New Hope. And if you don't want to send a check into the church, you can easily give online. I would encourage you to do that. And while you're there giving online, you'll have the opportunity to give to New Hope's General Fund. You could have the opportunity to give to the Emergency Food Bank, to the COVID-19 Assistance, which is for families that are hurt financially or otherwise. Or you could give to the One for One Outreach Ministry. It's all right there. It's easy to do. And the last button on the latest message page is one for giving blood. And there's a tremendous shortage of blood reserves. And we're asking you to consider giving blood through the local office of LifeServe here in Marshalltown. Simply click on the LifeServe Blood Center button and set up an appointment directly through them. Finally, Senior Sunday is rapidly approaching on Sunday, May 17th, and we need some things from you as families. And so please check your Parent Connection email or contact Dave Chase for more information about what you could provide for that special Sunday. Well, I think that brings you up to speed here at New Hope. Keep pursuing God for the benefit of others and keep being the church wherever it is that you do life. Thank you so very much.
Well, good morning, everybody. What I wanted to do is to just encourage you to keep strong in the faith. I want to encourage you to, during this time, to spend time with the Lord, because that's what He wants us to do. And so I want to encourage you to do three things. First of all, I want you to find a time a day to do it and keep it consistent. Second of all, find a place that you can consistently go to every day and spend time with Him and His Word. And thirdly, find a piece of Scripture that you can pray over. So today, I want to just do that this morning. And I wanted to just start with the book of Psalms. And I love Psalm 119. It says, "Lord, my soul faints with longing for You. But today, Lord, I put my hope in Your Word." And Lord, that's what I want to do today as I start my morning off, to pray Your Word and to find assurances of hope that I can face the day with. Lord, I thank You that Your Word is a lamp unto my feet, and You will be a light unto my path, and that's Your promise. And Lord, I just thank You for Psalm 121 that I want to pray right now. Father, this morning I pray to look up. I pray I will lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So Lord, I stand on that today. I will not look down on the problems. I will not look down on worry, on doubts, or fears. But Lord, I choose to look up, because that's where the help is coming from. You are my help. You're the maker of heaven and earth. So today I look up. And Lord, I thank Your promise that today You will not let my foot slip, and You will watch over us and me, and You will not slumber. Lord, I thank You that You watch over us. And Lord, I thank You that Your right hand will shade us from the sun, and the sun will not harm us by day. And it's by Your hand that we can find rest and full assurance that You're in control and we're not. So Lord, we come to You in peace. We come to You in praise. And Lord, I thank You that You will keep us from all harm, and You will watch over our lives. You will provide for us. So Lord, I stand on that today, that You are my protector, and Lord, You will watch over my coming and going, both now and forevermore. Thank You, Lord, for being there. Thank You for being my peace. And God bless you.
You are here with me. never stop working. Never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop. You never stop. Thank you.
gave my life to the Father's hand.
Welcome again to our online worship service at New Hope Christian Church. The Bible says that we are all born with a selfish nature. In other words, we all begin with an attitude of what's mine is mine, and I'm not inclined to share it with anybody else. And consequently, children must be taught to share with others. Children have to learn to be unselfish, because that's not a character trait that we are born with. So long before children hear about God's Ten Commandments, every child, it seems like, is innately born with what we call the Ten Property Laws of a Toddler. Now, I don't know if you've heard of these before, but I'd like to go in reverse order here. The Ten Property Laws of a Toddler. Number 10, a toddler says, if I like something, it's mine. How many of us have heard that, right? Number 9, if something is in my hand, it's mine. Number 8, if I can take something from you, it's mine. Number 7, if I had it a little while ago, it's mine. Number 6, if it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. Number 5, if I'm playing with many things at once, or if I'm building something from many pieces, they are all mine. Number 4, if what you have looks like something that I have, it's mine. Number 3, if I saw something first, it's mine. Number 2, if you are playing with something and put it down, it automatically becomes mine. And number 1, if something is broken, it's yours. That's the abundant wisdom of a child's mind, right? Well, sadly enough, adults can oftentimes be selfish as well. The Jewish people had been told to share God's light with the Gentile world, but they didn't do it. The Church of Jesus Christ has an obligation to share God's light with all who need it. And the absolute best way for us to tell people about Jesus is to live like Jesus. So we started a sermon series last weekend in which we're going to study the people skills of Jesus as he interacted with people, so that we can interact with people in the same way that Jesus did. This week we're going to look at Jesus' interaction with a lady named Mary Magdalene. And we're going to study the people skills that Jesus showed toward her so that we can hopefully exhibit those same people skills to those who are hurting in our society today. So hopefully you have your Bibles. Hopefully you took time to read the scriptures that I sent out in our letter this weekend. But I'm going to start with Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support Jesus and his disciples out of their own means. Let's go to John chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. This is after Jesus has been buried, and then we pick up early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you were looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, Mary said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with this good news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. We see in these passages and others in the Gospels that Jesus has an unmistakable compassion for us. The word compassion is defined as a sympathetic awareness of others' distress together with the willingness to help. Real compassion not only sees someone's needs, not only feels someone's needs, but true compassion is evidenced when someone is moved to actually alleviate another person's hurts or sorrows. As we read about the life of Jesus Christ in the Gospels, the word compassionate is used over and over again to describe that which motivated Jesus to do what he did. For instance, when a mother was seen by Jesus as grieving over her only son who had just died, the Bible says his heart was moved with compassion and he raised the son back to life. When a man with leprosy begged Jesus to heal him, the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion, reached out, and healed the man. When a huge crowd met Jesus and his disciples as their boat came to shore, Jesus had compassion on the entire crowd and healed those who were sick. How did Jesus and Mary Magdalene meet? We're not told the specifics. What we do know is that Mary had been possessed by seven demons. Now, since the number seven in the Bible means completeness, these seven demons dominated Mary's life completely, caused her a great deal of suffering. I doubt if any of us can even begin to imagine the agony that Mary experienced when these demons controlled her. When Jesus saw Mary, he was moved with compassion and commanded all seven demons to leave her. And when they did, she obviously became a completely different woman. I don't know if you've taken in the series The Chosen yet, but in episode 2 of that series, Nicodemus can clearly see that Mary Magdalene has been healed from her demons. He wants to know how. How did it happen? Mary says to him, she didn't understand it herself. Quote, "Here is what I can tell you. I was one way. Now I am completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him, Jesus." Jesus' compassion for wounded and hurting people like Mary Magdalene moved him to perform many miracles in people's lives. As he traveled through the towns and the villages announcing the good news, the Bible says he had compassion on the crowds because they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then Jesus says to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few." Jesus saw the hurting, helpless hordes of people he knew were searching for answers, searching for relief, searching for help, searching for hope. And Jesus knew that if his disciples had the same compassion for the hurting of this world that Jesus had, his disciples would have the same impact on the world that Jesus had. In the old American West, the pioneers would often circle the wagons as a defense against wolves or coyotes or attack from people. Too many in the church today think the church exists to circle the wagons and keep the evil from this world from negatively impacting our families and our church family. And while the Pharisees of Jesus' day practiced this kind of lifestyle, separating themselves from outsiders, it wasn't the way that Jesus intended. Jesus had compassion on the very ones the world rejected, like Mary Magdalene. God hasn't placed the church in the world to keep his people safe from the world any more than he called the Israelites as his chosen people to, so they could shelter themselves from the world. Jesus showed us that we're not here to hide from the world. We've been placed here by God to change the world. In the midst of this coronavirus pandemic, there are many people hurting. And others are searching for some kind of meaning to their lives they've yet to find. What a great opportunity for the Church of Jesus Christ to share the compassion of Jesus Christ with hurting people today. It first starts by seeing people, hurting people, through the eyes of Jesus, and then not only being moved by their hurts and moved by their needs, but then going to help meet those needs and comfort those hurts. Some good friends of ours, Greg and Lori, work with international students at a college in Nebraska. Approximately 150 of these internationals are still in the community for a variety of reasons. Some have been encouraged by their families to stay here in the United States since it's safer for them here than it is in their home countries. Some of them are having to remain so they can finish their classes for the semester. Still others of them can't find flights to take them home. And so while the vast majority of their American classmates have gone to their homes, where they can finish their classes online, these international students remain here and for the most part survive on ramen noodles and small box lunches from the college cafeteria. So moved by compassion, Lori cooked a turkey, and the two of them prepared prepared meals for these international students that consisted of turkey and dressing, mashed potatoes and gravy, and homegrown sweet corn. Greg and Lori then delivered the meals while maintaining a safe social distance, and the response from the international students was of overwhelming gratitude. That's what happens when we see hurting people with the compassion of Jesus and are moved, like Jesus, to help. Is there someone in your neighborhood, someone at your place of work, someone in our church family that could benefit from our Christ-like compassion? And what we see from Jesus' encounter with Mary Magdalene, that in addition to demonstrating an unmistakable compassion for her and for us, Jesus also has an undeniable confidence in us. How many of you have watched or do watch HGTV? When some people are looking for a house to purchase, there are those who want the house to be move-in ready. They don't want to be bothered with fix-it-up projects. They want to just move in and everything is turnkey. Now, maybe they don't have the time, maybe they don't have the skills or the tools to do the remodeling themselves, but there are other people who want to get their hands dirty. These people enjoy transforming the house they're going to live in, and they take pride in doing so. Likewise, there are many Christians who prefer new members to the church already be cleaned up morally. Many Christians like to add members who already live and talk or give and parent the way Christians should. But Jesus preferred to get involved in people projects. Jesus didn't come to help those people who didn't see themselves as needing a moral doctor. Jesus came to help those who knew they needed help. Jesus knew what he was capable of doing with someone seriously committed to him. If anyone is in Christ, the Apostle Paul wrote, he or she is a brand new creation. That old nature that tends to want to hold on to things and please themselves is replaced with a new nature that desires to please Jesus Christ. We are God's masterpiece, Paul wrote. God has recreated in us through Jesus Christ so that we can do the great things God planned a long time ago for us to do. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. So listen, I tell you the truth. I am soon leaving this earth to return to my Father. Anyone who really believes in me will not only be able to do the things I have done, but with that belief, we'll be able to do even greater things than I have done. You can ask anything in my name, and I will do it. You see, Jesus Christ knows the gifts and the abilities that he has placed within us. And Jesus knows the potential every one of us has to serve him and be Jesus to others when his Holy Spirit power is unleashed within us. The Bible tells us over and over that we are to help those in need. And it is a great thing when we do so. But it is a divine thing when we can show people how much they are worth to God. Because Jesus freed Mary of her seven demons, She was naturally, she was extremely grateful. Luke tells us there were other women who also shared and traveled with Jesus because he had healed them of various diseases and sicknesses and sins. And as a result, these women shared with Jesus and sustained he and his disciples from their own gifts. They were fiercely loyal to Jesus. Mary Magdalene and these other women traveled with Jesus and his disciples during much of his ministry. In addition, Mary Magdalene was near Jesus at the cross during his crucifixion. Furthermore, Mary Magdalene was at Jesus' tomb, preparing him for burial. And if that's not enough, Mary Magdalene is one of the first to see Jesus resurrected from the grave and the very first to actually talk to the resurrected Christ. Why in the world was Mary Magdalene so steadfastly devoted to following Jesus? Why does it appear that she wasn't going to leave him? Well, part of it, as I said, was her natural gratitude for Jesus delivering her from her deadly demons. But more than that, Jesus saw in Mary what Mary didn't see in herself. I believe Mary desired to aspire to that confidence Jesus had in her to do what he could empower her to do. Perspective is everything, isn't it? I don't know how many of you remember the 1993 movie entitled Cool Runnings. The movie is based upon the true story of a bobsled team from Jamaica. Yes, Jamaica, where it's summer year-round. This bobsled team qualified for the 88 Winter Olympics at Calgary, Canada. Not having snow anywhere in Jamaica, these athletes trained for the bobsled event with go-karts that had wheels on them and iron sleds they pushed around on grass. So while the team is in Calgary for the Olympic event, a bobsledder from another country totally disses the smaller member of the Jamaican team who is frightened and has a low self-esteem. His much larger teammate picks the smaller friend up by the collar, drags him into the men's bathroom of that business. "What do you see when you look in the mirror?" he says. Now, Junior was the son of a rich Jamaican businessman who thought this whole thing was ridiculous and wanted his son to come home. So he says, "I see Junior." "You know, want to know what I see?" his teammate asks. "When I look in the mirror at you, I see pride. I see power. I see somebody who won't take flack from anybody." And Junior looks in the mirror and he asks, "You really see all that?" "Yeah, man. But it's not about what I see. It's about what you see. Now look in the mirror again and tell me what you see." Consequently, when our Lord looks at us, he sees potential. He sees power. He sees his prized possession. And what Jesus wants us to see in us is what he already sees in us. Another example, when Jesus passed by a man who had been blind from birth in John chapter 9, his disciples asked him, "Lord, who committed the sin that resulted in this man being born blind? Was it because of his parents' sin or was it because of the man's sin?" Jesus' disciples saw this man in his hurting condition as an opportunity to have a theological argument. Jesus saw this man as someone who could greatly glorify God. This man wasn't born blind because of his parents' sin or because of his sin. This man was born blind so that you could see the glory of God. And then Jesus healed him. Time after time, Jesus' disciples observed their master looking at hurting people through his eyes of confidence. Jesus knew what he could do with hurting people. And eventually, after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and with the power of God's Holy Spirit in them, eventually they got it. We see an example of that in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are at the temple, as is a lame man, a man who's been lame from birth, whose friends set him there and near the temple day after day after day. Now, Peter and John have seen this guy on several occasions. Probably their eyes might have even met. But on this particular occasion, they looked steadfastly, intently into his eyes. They wanted him to look intently into their eyes at the same time. And when he did, they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Not only did this man walk for the very first time, he went around running and leaping and praising Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, God is still opening my eyes today to see people the way that he sees people. God is still reminding me that he has a plan for every human being, and he can change any human being. Every person who has become a saint in Christ has a past. Every one of us. By the same token, we can never forget that because of Jesus Christ, every sinner also has a future. As the late writer George Eliot once said, and I quote, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Is there anyone our Lord can't change? If not, then let's have the same undeniable confidence in what God can do through people and in people that Jesus has in them. Thirdly, we see from the encounters that Jesus had with Mary Magdalene that Jesus has an unshakable commitment to us. In 2004, a man and his girlfriend from Austria took a trip to Las Vegas. On a whim, they decided to spontaneously get married at a wedding chapel for $25. Neither one of them took it seriously. And soon after they returned back to Austria, they split up. 11 years later, this man, who is now 55 years old, marries another woman. On the wedding application, he didn't see the need to mention his previous marriage because he thought it was a joke. He hadn't taken it seriously. When his not quite ex-wife reported him to the Austrian authorities, he went to court where he was convicted of bigamy and fined. How many people today don't take seriously the commitments we make? Whether it's a marriage, whether it's to our job, whether it's a legal commitment, far too many. And yet Jesus says that for us who believe, our yes should be yes and our no should be no. Contrast that lack of commitment with that of Kim and Cricket Carpenter, who were married on September 16th of 1993, only 10 weeks after honeymooning in Maui. Kim and Cricket were involved in a very serious car accident. Both of them were majorly injured. Cricket finally came out of her coma, but she had no idea who her husband Kim was. She didn't remember dating Kim. She didn't remember the wedding. She didn't remember their honeymoon. Cricket never did recover any of her memory. But these two were Christians, and they were committed to keeping their vows. It became a movie called The Vow. And on Valentine's Day of 1996, Kim Carpenter asked Cricket to marry him again. And they said their vows a second time, this time so Cricket could remember her wedding. That's godly commitment. That's the commitment our world needs to see in Jesus' followers. My friends, we will never understand this side of heaven, how relentless Jesus' commitment is to you and I. So Mary was possessed by seven demons. We're not told how that happened. Maybe she got hooked up with the wrong crowd. Maybe she developed some bad habits and fell away from the Lord. Irregardless, Jesus was committed to Mary Magdalene. So as our scriptures tell us, Mary was totally, radically, miraculously transformed because Jesus had her back. Jesus was committed to her. And I'm telling you that what was true of Mary then is still true of you and I today. Regardless of what we've done and where we've been, regardless of whom we've hurt or the grief we've caused others, Jesus Christ never gives up on us. Never. He keeps coming back. He keeps wooing us. He keeps pursuing us. Jesus' disciples took the good news about their resurrected Lord to many parts of the world. They were powerful evangelists, and most were martyred because of their faith in Jesus Christ. We don't know exactly what happened to Mary Magdalene. There are many legends about her following Jesus' resurrection. But there is one thing we are absolutely sure about. At a time and in a culture where women were rarely heard from, Jesus Christ appeared to some women first on that Easter morning, and it was Mary Magdalene who was the first to tell the full gospel story. Jesus is alive. He is no longer dead. Jesus Christ has an unmistakable compassion for every situation that every one of us has ever endured or is currently experiencing. Jesus Christ has an undeniable confidence in what we can do when we are empowered by Him. And Jesus Christ has an unshakable commitment to us that will never leave us or abandon us. What logical or rational response should we have but to now demonstrate those same people skills to the many around us who don't yet know Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus' example. Thank you for inspiring these men to record for us these aspects of Jesus' life, including the interaction he had with Mary Magdalene and the result of his interaction with her in her life and how that transformed her, knowing, God, that when we imitate those same people skills in the lives of people today, their lives will be totally, radically transformed as well. Thank you for your confidence in us. Thank you for your commitment to us. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to demonstrate those skills to others. May you be glorified in us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, New Hope, go out and be the church wherever God calls you to do life.